For most of us, lunch is kind of a sidebar meal, something we cram into a lunchbox or grab on the go between meetings.
But award-winning chef Gail Gann says with a little effort, lunch can be made into something that's both delicious and nutrition. In this week's edition of Food Friday, we asked her why she believes we should give lunch more respect.
You know, I think lunch really is sort of the, you know, the lost stepchild of all the meal periods. But what I love about lunch is it's really an important meal for how the rest of your day goes. Not only that, but if you're having people over for lunch, it's a lot less daunting. I call dinner parties the daunting dinner party because they, you know, they go on for 4 hours and it's expensive and people don't leave and they drink too much. But if you have people over in the midday for lunch, you know, it's like an hour, hour and a half. It's a lot more casual, sort of less stress. You know, less service is expected from you. Again, people aren't drinking as much. And it really, I think, can impact the rest of your day. And it's not just having people over for lunch, but it's also like packing better lunches for yourself, packing better lunches for your kids, maybe going on a picnic as a way to get together with friends, you know, as opposed to going out to dinner to a restaurant. So there's a lot of flexibility in that period, that meal period that I think we're missing up until now.
Well, let's key in on that packed lunch. My work lunch is an afterthought. It's usually leftovers or a sandwich, or I run out and get something at the grocery store or sub shop. Why should we put more thought into that working lunch?
Thus my point, the neglected stepchild. See, you're selling
well,
that
I'm living
idea
it,
right
yeah.
there. Well, part of it is, I mean, you know, your work day is when you want to be the most sharp, the most productive, and to kind of just, you know, not fuel your body for the kind of challenging work you're about to do doesn't make sense to me. And the way, actually, that I wrote the book, along with each recipe, is there's three different categories. There's how to pack it to go and what to pack it with to go. There's what to do to eat it at home with, and there's what to do to make it a party. So they're all recipes that you could pack to go with something else to make a lunch or eat at home with a little more, you know, you got a little more work than you can put into it. Or if you want to make it a big party and a gathering, what other recipe to put with it to make it into a party.
Now, on your crusade to promote lunch and nutrition, you actually went to the White House and you got to speak with First Lady Michelle Obama about nutrition and children's lunches. What did you have to say, and what is her thinking about why lunches matter for kids?
Well, that was sort of the catalyst for the book initially. I was part of the Chef That God Called into Action for the Chef's Move to School initiative, and it was as my son was starting high school. So 3.5 years ago, I got to go to the White House. I got to hear Michelle Obama speak inspirationally about the importance of lunch, the importance of improving lunches for our school children, and she asked for my help. And I gave it to her as much as I possibly could. I also, you know, have restaurants and kids of my own and write cookbooks and do television. But what I did was I signed on to mentor my son's high school and the lunch program there. Which meant two things. I could actually help improve the lunch program at his school, but I could spy on him at the same time, but he couldn't actually nail me for it. But there was this idea to me, you know, kids have a coach, they have a music teacher, you know, they're like, oh, there's my anthropology teacher, but they don't have a chef. And I thought these kids should have someone that they look at walking through the halls in a chef coat that they call their chef, that they feel that some of their relationship with food has to do with that person. So I wanted to be that person in the school. I kind of took a multi-pronged approach. I went through the PTO to help educate parents about easier, better, healthier lunches they might pack for their kids. So I like went to PTO meetings and did cooking demonstrations. I got in the school newsletter with suggestions of menus and, you know, a recipe or two every month. Then I went into the cafeteria, did cooking demonstrations with kids and had them try things they maybe never had before, had them make stuff with me, and then I got into the classroom. So I got into a physics class, got into a French class and did a demo and used food as a way to teach language, food as a way to teach physics, and then also went into the lunchroom and worked with the lunch lady to get, you know, Fryer Free Friday and things like that. So that was sort of my initial focus on lunch, was through the White House and Michelle Obama's program. And then I realized, like, lunch needs help, and I'm here to help. I'm going to save lunch single-handedly.
Well, what are some of the winners after this experience in the schools in particular? What are some of the successful lunches that were healthy and that kids didn't just throw away?
Well, you know, some of the easy things that parents can do, not only for themselves but for their kids, like everyone eats hummus right now, I think. It's a pretty common, you know, dipping food that you can either go, you know, for veg for dip or go with pita. But I do a pea hummus. So instead of using chickpeas, I use green peas, which are inexpensive, easy to get. It's from frozen peas, but it's the same sort of olive oil, garlic, salt and pepper. I do a little bit of fresh mint. It stays green forever, so it's not like guacamole where it, you know, goes brown after you snuck a fingerful of it. And it travels really well. So that's a great, you know, and you could smear it on a roast beef sandwich as well. So it can be a topping, it can be a dip. It can't be a milkshake, but almost anything else.
So you get some veggies in there. Yeah. What is your go-to lunch when you've got a hectic day, you're doing a lot of things, and you do want to nourish yourself? What is something that you cook from your cookbook that really helps you feel supported?
Well, those are two separate questions. I was like, cold fried chicken. Oh, wait, not, that's not that healthy. And then you rephrased it to something from my cookbook. So I'm going to flip through the entrees right now. I've got, you know, simple, oh, this is one of my favorites, the chicken drumsticks with chili sauce. So it's kind of like a buffalo wing, but they're drumsticks. So they've got, you know, a lot of flavor to them, but it's, you know, it's kind of like a dip and roast, easy to prepare the night before. You don't even need silverware. You know, it's something that kids would eat. They can, you know, pick it up with their hands. So the chicken drumsticks with chili sauce, obvious accompaniment would be celery sticks with blue cheese vinaigrette. But I also do, there's a loaded baked potato salad in here that might go really nicely with that.
And you hit, you used a key phrase there, I think, make the night before. What gets me on my lunch as an afterthought thing is if I'm getting ready for work in the morning, I'm not going to take the time then to prepare the lunch. We have to think ahead.
Right. So much of this is about do ahead. What steps can be done ahead? And, you know, that's where my chefing is less important and the fact that I'm a mother becomes really important because I don't have time. I don't have time to even finish a recipe from start to finish. So the idea of being able to do steps ahead of time really makes the difference between my kids getting something interesting for lunch and getting something boring.
Gail, have you seen all these books out recently saying Italian kids eat best or French kids eat best and they really know how to do it and they cook homemade food in France or Italy or fill a name of country here that's better than the United States? And one of the things I think that's so hard is what you and Rob were just talking about is finding any time, let alone, you know, the night ahead. That's one thing. But how do we find time in our lives to cook all these things, let alone lunch, which is right now, I guess, sort of our grab-and-go meal? How do we make time during our lives?
I think there's sort of two answers to that question. One is, you know, a little bit of planning so that the thing you're making the night before can then morph into something else for lunch. I did an article in a Chicago magazine that talked about, like, here's a pork shoulder that you can braise all day, you know, or braise in the late afternoon for dinner, and then here's the pulled pork sandwich for the next day that comes out of that. So sort of cooking something that becomes two meals. It's dinner that night, and the leftovers morph into this. And then there's also stuff that's super simple, like one of the pastas I do. It's basically a fresh pasta. You're cutting up fresh cherry tomatoes, fresh garlic. You're tossing it with your pasta, some olive oil, some mozzarella, like fresh mozzarella cheese, and it's a room temperature pasta with some torn basil. But as the flavors sort of sit in your lunchbox for the 2 or 3 hours till you've got, you know, till you eat it, these flavors like marry and meld together and just create a beautiful balance. So there's sort of two versions of that. One is, you know, actual do ahead, and some is just simpler stuff.
I like that idea of planning a dinner, but planning to repurpose it like you did with the pork sandwich there.
That's the perfect way to call it. Repurposing is a great way. Like I do these panko crusted chicken strips. It's literally chicken breasts that I'm, you know, rolling in like egg, dipping in egg, rolling in panko crust, browning them, and then the next day they make like a killer taco for you to bring in your lunch.
It does sound good. Rob and I
both
cooked up with that.
Yeah. And so this is what my kids eat. You know, and part of it was just going through schools. I used to sneak into my son's school and like, oh, he forgot his gloves, so I have to deliver them. And I was like the culinary cop that would walk up and down the lunch tables to see what parents were packing for their kids. And I always left really sad. Like I just felt like there was so much prepackaged stuff that parents were just tossing in a lunchbox. And I thought, that doesn't say you love them. You know, they need to know you love them. You need to make them like something real. So I kind of got on the crusade then even.
One of the recipes that you sent us is a Parmesan-crusted tilapia. Mm-hmm. Could you talk us through that recipe?
Sure. Let me just, I'm just going to flip to it in my book. So it's got a nice fresh salsa on top, a cucumber, tomato, and fennel relish. Fennel is one of my favorite vegetables to use, ironically, because I lost on Iron Chef and my secret ingredient was fennel. So you'd think it would be a four-letter word in our house. But I just find it brings a lot of sort of crunch and texture. It's almost like celery, but, you know, but wound up a little bit because it's got that anise flavor. So for the fish, it's very similar to the chicken I was talking about. And I love using tilapia because it's a very, you know, it's a resilient fish. It's not delicate. You don't have to be careful when you flip it that it might fall apart. It stays together. It's probably one of the more meaty fish that there are, but it's cheap. You know, it can be farm-raised, so there's no issues in terms of environmentally. And basically, I mix up an egg, dip it in that, and then I've got panko crumbs that I mix with Parmesan cheese, some chopped flat-leaf parsley, salt and pepper. And I'm just basically sautéing that on two sides. And then I do this relish ahead of time of cucumber, some tomato, fennel, some scallion, and some orange sections. So it's got like sort of salt and sweet going on at the same time, like savory and sweet, almost like sweet and sour. Then there's a little bit of vinegar and olive oil, salt and pepper, and some rough chopped basil on top of it. So super colorful. You know, think about, you got the orange, the pop of the red tomato, a bunch of green. So it's a lot of fresh, it's a lot of textural stuff satisfying you.
Sounds,
it's a great dish.
Sounds better than any lunch I've had this week. Well, we're out of time. Gail, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. Love talking to you guys. Hope you enjoy lunch.
We will try.
Thank you.
Even if I didn't make it. Okay, bye.
Thanks.
That was Gail Gann, Chicago-based chef, cookbook author, television personality, and winner of the 2001 James Beard Foundation Award for Outstanding Pastry Chef. She's the author of Gail Gann's Lunch, out at the end of this month.
And we talked to her before lunch earlier this week. By the way, you can find her recipe for Parmesan tilapia on the Central Time Facebook page.